Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The Claire Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Keir Starmer is facing further pressure on his premiership. He's facing a really crucial vote today. MPs are voting on whether there should be a parliamentary inquiry into his handling of the Peter Mandelson vetting row. As all of that is happening, Morgan McSweeney is giving evidence right now in front of MPs at Westminster. He has said that advising Starmer to appoint Mandelson was a serious error of judgment. Here he is speaking at the Foreign Affairs Committee.
The appointment of Mandelson as ambassador was a serious error of judgment. I advised the Prime Minister in support of that appointment, and I was wrong to do so. It is also important, however, to distinguish between what I did do and what I did not do. What I did do was make a recommendation based on my judgment that Mandelson's experience, relationships and political skills could serve the national interest in Washington at an important moment. That judgment was a mistake. What I did not do was oversee national security vetting, ask officials to ignore procedures, requests that steps should be skipped, or communicate explicitly or implicitly that checks should be cleared at all costs. I would never have considered that acceptable. These processes are in place to protect our national security.
That is Morgan McSweeney there, the Cork man. George Parker is with us from the Financial Times. That's the first time I've heard Morgan McSweeney speak. George, has he had anything interesting to say?
I think he says we compare this Svengali figure, hasn't he, at Westminster? And as you say, he's worked behind the scenes. And until last week when he was at a conference in Kyiv, I don't think anyone really had heard him speak. And I think he's been sort of given quite a calm account of his extraordinary role at the heart of the Number 10 operation. I mean, you heard there in that clip, what he's basically saying is that he did make the recommendation for Mandelson to get this job. He thought that Mandelson would be the right person to deal with Donald Trump. He said that if Kamala Harris had won the American presidential election, he didn't think that Mandelson would have gone to Washington. Mm-hmm. But given the fact that Trump was there, this extraordinary politician, they needed someone with extraordinary talents to go out and be up against him.
Now, you are writing today about this three-pronged challenge that Keir Starmer is facing today. That's one of the prongs, isn't it, what Morgan McSweeney had to say. The other one was Sir Philip Barton, who gave evidence this morning. He was the former head of the, or is the former head of the Foreign Office. So what was he being asked about this morning?
Well, this is all about the appointment of Peter Mandelson and the circumstances around his appointment. And Philip Barton was the head of the Foreign Office at the time when the initial announcement was made. He basically said he was given about a week's notice of this appointment coming down the track. And he admitted basically that if Mandelson had failed the vetting process after he'd been announced as the preferred candidate to be the ambassador to Washington, there would have been a crisis on everyone's hands. The king had already been told that Mandelson was going. Donald Trump had already been told that Mandelson was going. There were no contingency plans in place in the event that Mandelson failed the vetting process. So it was interesting evidence, but I'd say that on that front, at least, I don't think Keir Starmer's got anything particularly to worry about. It basically confirmed that although the Foreign Office felt under pressure to speed up a decision on Mandelson's vetting, they weren't under any pressure to ignore red flags being raised as part of the vetting process, which has always been Keir Starmer's contention.
But in about an hour's time, he's going to face the opposition parties who really want him to face a formal inquiry into this entire Mandelson affair. And I know that the Labour Party mandarins in the background have been shoring up support for Keir Starmer. So they're clearly nervous about this.
Yeah, very nervous about this. This is the kind of measure that the Labour Party, when they were in opposition under Keir Starmer's leadership, used to use against Boris Johnson, the sleaze inquiry by the official parliamentary ethics watchdog. They deployed it against Boris Johnson over the Partygate scandal. And now the tables are being turned on Keir Starmer. The Tories are trying to get this affair referred to something called the Privileges Committee. There'll be a vote on that later on today. the Liberal Democrats and other opposition party are also supporting it. However, as you say, Starmer's office are very worried about it. They've been pulling out all the stops. Starmer went to meet the Parliamentary Labour Party last night to plead with them for their support. Gordon Brown, the former Prime Minister, has been wheeled out in defence of Keir Starmer. My sense on this is that although it's going to be a difficult debate for the Prime Minister, I think he's going to win the vote. And I think this formal investigation won't be launched this afternoon.
Mm-hmm. He also has this challenge we read about in highly entertaining terms, it has to be said, for weeks now, potentially from Angela Rayner and or Andy Burnham. What's the status of all of that?
Well, the context of all this is there's a very, very difficult set of elections coming up for the Labour Party on the 7th of May in Scotland, Wales, English councils. We're expecting the Labour Party to get an absolute hammering, annihilated in some parts of the country. Then the question arises, is the Labour Party going to say enough's enough and pull the plug on Keir Starmer? The balance of the party is on what you would call the soft left side of the party. And the two obvious candidates on that side of the party are Angela Rayner and Andy Burnham. The problem is neither of them are ready to run for different reasons. Angela Rayner, because she has an unsettled tax dispute with the HM Revenue and Customs, which is a little bit awkward if you want to be Prime Minister. Andy Burnham, of course, is the Mayor of Greater Manchester and isn't an MP, so isn't eligible to stand. So although the Labour Party will be in a state of high anxiety after the results come in on May the 7th, the question is, will they be prepared to try to start the process to remove Keir Starmer when their preferred candidates are out of the running? I think that's the big question that nobody knows the answer to.
I thought it was interesting that the MP, Peter Dowd, wasn't offering any comment when it was put to him that he might vacate his seat for Andy Burnham to have an easy-ish run. What do you read into that?
Andy Burnham's people are certainly very confident that a seat will become available for him to contest in a by-election so that he's in place come the autumn, ready to mount some sort of leadership contest. And you know, there is talk about finding another seat for him somewhere in the northwest. You remember last time he tried to stand, he was blocked by Keir Starmer's allies on Labour's ruling National Executive Committee. Well, I don't think that's going to happen next time. It just feels like that moment has passed. And if Andy Burnham wants to stand, I think he'll be allowed to stand. He then has to win the by-election, of course, which is not always a foregone conclusion when you're as unpopular as the Labour Party are at the moment. But assuming Andy Burnham is an MP again by the autumn, I think that will really mark the beginning of the end for Keir Starmer, because it will then only be a matter of time before a challenge materialises.
So are you saying that Keir Starmer's power or control that he exerted over the Labour NEC, the National Executive Committee, has waned, that he wouldn't have the power to stop Andy Burnham now running?
Yeah, I think that's the case. I was speaking to someone on the NEC last week and they said just because we decided not to let him run last time doesn't mean the same decision will be reached again. There are elections to the NEC coming up where we expect people who will be more sympathetic to Andy Burnham to arrive. I think the mood in the Labour Party now is that the party's fortunes have sunk to such a low level, and Andy Burnham is seen as a sort of breath of fresh air who could revitalise the party, that to carry on stopping him being an MP would be to shoot yourselves in the foot. And the problem is that once Andy Burnham is back at Westminster, then every single story will be seen through the prism of when's Andy Burnham going to strike. So I think the moment we see him back at Westminster, the clock will be ticking on Keir Starmer's premiership.
And then these stories, George, about Andy and Angela striking a deal that she would support him and then she could have whatever job she wants in his new cabinet. I mean, this is so many steps down the line. But is that likely? Is she the type of person who would stand by her man here?
It sounds unlikely, but I think she's realistic. I mean, she's got a lot of political baggage, not least, she was the housing minister when this scandal erupted about the fact she hadn't paid the correct taxes on a house transaction. So that's not a very good look. In the middle of a cost of living crisis, it's possible that she's going to be fined by HM Revenue and Customs. I mean, how does that look to voters? If you look at the approval ratings for Angela Rayner, she's the fourth least popular politician in Britain after Keir Starmer, the Chancellor Rachel Reeves and Nigel Farage. So it's not obvious that Angela Rayner would be a salvation for the Labour Party. And I think she's clever enough to realise that. So I think if she could be deputy leader of the party in an Andy Burnham government, I think she would probably, I could be wrong about this, but probably be OK with her.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's jump across the Atlantic to the visit of King Charles, Britain's King Charles and Camilla to Washington, where they've met Donald Trump and Melania. Will Donald Trump bring King Charles into the Oval Office in front of the press as he does with world leaders. Is that likely to happen? I'm sure the people who are looking after King Charles will not want that to happen.
I'd be amazed if that were to happen, because once you're in that forum, I've been in the Oval Office with one of those media scrums and it's absolutely anarchic, chaotic. I think the idea that King Charles would be anywhere near that kind of environment, I think is extremely unlikely. I mean, I think, you know, you have to think, bear in mind that unlike Keir Starmer, for whom Donald Trump seems to have sort of virtue of contempt these days, he does respect the British royal family. He was on good behaviour when he came to Britain for the state visit last year to Windsor Castle. And I expect he won't do anything that will put King Charles in an embarrassing situation in America, although with Donald Trump, you never know, of course.
Mm-hmm. And there's a very carefully crafted speech that King Charles will deliver all about the importance of the special relationship. And that relationship building project is very important at the moment, given what you've just said about the deterioration in the relationship between the United States and Britain of late, particularly over Iran and lack of support for the United States in that conflict.
Yeah, I mean, Keir Starmer initially had a good relationship with Donald Trump that surprised many people. We got a trade deal with America, but things have deteriorated quite a lot. I mean, some of the things that Donald Trump's been saying about Starmer, not Winston Churchill, mocking the Royal Navy, basically saying we've sort of been false allies, and even suggesting there might be some reopening of the Falkland Islands question. All these things are not the kind of things you'd expect from an ally. So, yeah, relationships have hit a low. It's not to say that things can't get better, but King Charles and the royal family have always been very good ambassadors for the UK. They act on the advice of politicians. So the Foreign Secretary, Yvette Cooper, is travelling with the King to America. So everything he does in America will be intended to try to patch over some of these differences which have exploded into the open in the last few weeks.
Well, it'll be interesting, but it's certainly unpredictable. That's all we can say about it. Unpredictable from one side, certainly. George, thank you very much. George Parker there, political editor with the Financial Times.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.